Look through the window of the original Joe's on North Beach and you'll see two guys at the counter talking ball. Time for you to listen in to their conversation. Marty Lurie and the SF Chronicles' Bruce Jenkins are looking through the window of baseball. Sponsored by Original Joe's of North Beach and Westlake on KNBR 680, the sports leader.
All right, it is Sunday, a beautiful day at the ballpark. Bruce Jenkins joins us. Bruce, how are you?
Doing well, Marty. How are you?
Oh, we're doing good. You know, it's it's Sunday crazy out here as we get ready for the game. And, I'm doing the show, and all of a sudden I get a text from Matt Chisholm. It says, hey, Corey Guerin, Austin Jackson, and Jason Barr, they're now Texas Rangers for the legendary player to be named later. And cash consideration. So it's please, would you please take them, and we'll talk about it later. And Steven Duggar up here, he's in the lineup today, Bruce, and Ray Black as well.
Yeah, well, they're cutting some costs here, trying to stay under the luxury tax threshold, and I don't really think they're losing anything. Austin Jackson didn't really do anything overly impressive. I think it was his appearance in the lineup was getting a little bit, this kind of a tired look, and I don't think they ever really trusted Corey Guerin. You know, even with so many chances to be a solid right-handed reliever, he never overwhelmed the Giants. So I don't think they lose a whole lot, and they gain some cash, which they enjoy. But the fact that they're bringing up Steven Duggar and Ray Black is probably the most interesting thing, because now they've got Slater and Duggar up here. They're not worried about Austin Jackson getting in the way of the youth movement. And Ray Black is a very interesting guy, Marty. I don't know, were you at the game in the Arizona Fall League? It was 3 years ago when he hit 104 on the gun.
No, I was not. I last saw him in spring training, and I think that's the last time I saw him.
Well, after the 2015 season, a writer from MLB called him the hardest thrower in the minor leagues following that 15 season. He did 104 on the gun, but he's had a ton of injuries. He had Tommy John in high school. He had labrum surgery. The Giants are really patient with him, which he's said how much he appreciates that. He still throws very hard, and they've been wondering if he's really going to be able to pitch on consecutive days. I don't think they'll ask that of him, but the fans will be looking at a guy who is kind of a legend in the minor leagues for sheer fastball. And I don't think they'd bring him up if they didn't think he'd establish some command and still threw hard.
He'd been pretty good in his last few outings. He definitely gives the bullpen an element that they don't have that a lot of other teams do. My question for you, Bruce, is: are you a little? I'm a little surprised Duggar's in there immediately today, hitting leadoff, because they've been kind of waiting with Austin Slater. They waited even with Mack a little bit. Duggar comes up today, and they're just sort of handing him the keys to that leadoff spot. Gorky Hernandez in left field.
Yeah, that's wild. I think they think a little bit higher of Duggar than Slater and Mack Williamson. This is an all-around player. He's a tremendous outfielder, and he looks like a hitter, too. I mean, he may never go back down after this. We'll see, but I like what they're doing. I mean, they're going to be looking to make some kind of another deal before the trading deadline. They're definitely not cashing it in. They're just casting off some age and bringing in some youth, and who knows where it may lead. They've had a lot of success with Suarez and Derek Richardson, so we'll see where it goes.
Well, it's July, I think, of 1987. It's not a blockbuster bringing Kevin Mitchell in and people like that from the Padres in 87. However, it is the beginning of the month that is, for me, the month of survival. And Brian Sabian, Bobby Evans get together and they shake up the clubhouse and let everybody know we're not quitting, we're in this thing. And I think that's the biggest thing for me. You get rid of two veterans who weren't, the 23rd, 24th, 25th guys on the roster. But the big thing is you're sending the message and you're doing it in July, the beginning of July, and I like the timing.
Yeah, and that's a constant message from Sabian and Larry Bear, and really the whole ownership group. They don't spend recklessly. Maybe some of the fans would say on occasion that they have, but basically they're willing to spend. They want to compete. They never want to cash it in. They never want to rebuild. They never want to tank or any of this stuff that's going on. They want to be right in it, and that's the message that they've pretty much always sent in the Brian Sabian era, and they're certainly sending it now.
Bruce, what do you think of Samardzija yesterday?
He was okay. He hit 93 at one point, I think, early on. That was a good sign. maybe a tad rusty, which is understandable. But I didn't think he was, you know, he wasn't like he was crushed. You know, the Martinez hit was kind of a fluke, and I thought he was fine. You know, nothing really impressive, but nothing alarming either.
Well, the ball was flying yesterday in the National League, the old National League, the grand old league that doesn't score many runs. They didn't get the memo. For Washington, of course, they score 18 against the Marlins. Mark Reynolds drives in 10, and I'm going to name some names, Bruce. You're going to like this.
Sonny Jim Bottomley?
Yeah, anytime I get to say Sonny Jim Bottomley with you, I like to do that. So, and then, of course, Arizona goes out and puts 20 on the Padres last night. But here, so Mark Reynolds, 10 RBIs, right?
Yeah.
Walker Cooper.
Yep.
A New York Giant back in the late 40s. His brother was Mort Cooper.
I think Reggie and Fred Lynn are in there, and A-Rod.
I'm coming to them. So this is the National League. Rendon and Scooter.
Uh-huh.
Phil Weintraub of the New York Giants in 1944. I don't remember Phil.
Yeah, and sure.
Sonny Jim Bottomley, St. Louis Cardinals.
Well, he's got the 12. That's the record.
That's right.
He and Mark Whitten.
That's correct. Very good. Very good. Mark Whitten has 12, 1993.
Hard hitting.
All right. American League. This is most RBIs in a game. 11. Push
Tony
him
Lazzari.
Up. Yeah, very good, Bruce. Boy, you're on this. Very good. Push him up. Tony Lazzari. Rudy York.
Yeah.
Norm Zouchin, who I actually met. He was a Miami Marlin when I was growing up.
I have no idea who that is.
Yeah, first baseman Norm Zouchin, big guy who was a Washington Senator and a Boston Red Sox. All right, Reggie, as you mentioned. Fred Lynn, Nomar, A-Rod, and Garrett Anderson.
Garrett Anderson.
Wow.
Yeah.
They've all got 10. So when you and I can talk about Sonny Jim Bottomley and Walker Cooper, it's a good day for you.
All we need is Van Lingle Mungo, and we're all set.
Really? Really. But how about that? Then Mark Reynolds, you know, what a day. And I think about the Giants, and, you know, is there anyone capable on this team of doing anything like that?
I'd say no. The one guy, you know, Brandon Belt had a couple of amazing at-bats yesterday, especially the one in the eighth inning when he's looking at Jordan Hicks throwing 100-plus with sync and not necessarily out of control, and he takes one down around the knees and gets a base hit. I mean, and he got a really impressive hit off Martinez, too. I mean, he's a guy who's not fazed by anything, and when he gets hot, you know, he's kind of unstoppable. But 5 for 5 and 10 RBIs, I don't know. That's that might be out of all the Giants' reach.
Yeah, that's tough to do.
Well, it's crazy because you mentioned Rendon had a 10 RBI game, and then Trey Turner the other day had an 8 RBI game, and then you get Reynolds yesterday with 10. So now three guys in that lineup are capable of it.
Yeah.
Well,
that lineup is going to – it is starting to explode, and they're going to go on a pretty good run here. That's an awfully good team.
It's July. Things happen in July. Teams disappear, and then teams sort of put it together, and – they had the infamous players-only meeting. Not catered. Not catered, but just the players-only meeting. And I guess they yell at each other or who knows what, but Max Scherzer led it. And after that, they were losing 9-0 to the Marlins and won 14-12 and haven't looked back since.
Yeah, sometimes those meetings, you know, are a real turning point, and the teams like to point to that. And a lot of other times, they don't do anything at all. And maybe you don't even hear about them happening. But sometimes you just need to clear the air, and guys have things they need to say, and it can be pretty beneficial at times.
Well, I think it worked for these, for the Nats, and they're back in this thing. And now we're in July, and here we go. Bruce, the All-Star Game is coming up, and the teams will be announced today.
Yeah.
Buster Posey, you hope, personally, I mean, do you hope he hangs on here and gets named, or maybe this isn't his year?
Well, I think if, you know, realistically, the top guys in the National League, I mean, JT Realmuto is the number one for sure. He's having an unbelievable year. You've got Yadier Molina, who's always around, and the Pirates, Francisco Cervelli's having a heck of a year. A lot of the projections I've seen have those three guys ahead of Posey. I think the fact that Buster's not hitting for power has hurt his cause this year. If he were to start the game, nobody's going to complain, right? I mean, he's the essential catcher of the National League, he and Molina, for so many years. But, you know, realistically, there's some guys ahead of him this year.
Yeah, and he needs a day off, I think.
I think that'd be nice.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's more important. He's a Hall of Famer. He's been an All-Star. You know, he doesn't have to go cross country and come back and then take on the A's.
No, exactly. Yeah.
I think, it's more important the team right now. And I don't know. I think that's – well, what do you like best about the All-Star game? At least the festivities, and you've been to a number of them. I have, too. What do you like the best?
Yeah. Well, it's really fun to be at the All-Star weekend where you can see the Home Run Derby, and I remember when the Derby just started, there were some really memorable performances by Cal Ripken and Mark McGwire, and it was pretty stunning. But I don't know, I just. The thing for me, the All-Star game, I used to really care about who made it, who didn't, and now I just kind of sit back and watch it. But because there's a lot of things wrong with it. What I most like about it is the way it used to be when you'd get to the 10th inning at Candlestick and you still have Mays, Clemente, and Aaron. You know what I mean? Yeah, I'd love to see Mike Trout play the whole game. I'd love to see some radical things. I'd love to see Juan Soto and Ronald Acuna play for the National League. You know, but it's just I'm throwing out stuff here, you know, randomly. But it's fun.
Yeah.
I've always thought it's to me it's the most fun of all the All-Star games. The NFL, you know, the Pro Bowl lost its luster years ago. The NBA All-Star game is kind of a joke in some ways, but I like the game. I like matchups. With the interleague, you don't see so many matchups that have never happened, but you still get, you know, some real unfamiliarity. Guys are facing Scherzer and Kershaw and, you know, Bumgarner and all that. But I like the spectacle of it. I think it's fun.
Yeah. Bruce, last week or a couple weeks ago, I pitched you the idea of maybe adding to the All-Star Weekend, doing a home run derby with some of the former guys who are, you know, guys like Bonds or Ichiro who people want to see. And then I kind of started paying attention. I saw the Yankees are doing these alumni games now. The D-backs have an alumni game. Do you think the Giants are maybe soon to follow suit in that? They've got so many players that stay close to the organization. I think people would show up for an alumni Giants game.
Oh, no doubt about it. You know, especially if it was before a regularly scheduled game.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that'd be a lot of fun. I mean, there's a lot of guys, you know, hanging around. I'd love to see Flannery take a few hacks.
Oh, I'd love to see it. I'd love to see, you know, you run Vogelsong back out there. I saw Swisher hit a home run in the Yankee game. It was great.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you get Bonds in there. That could be scary.
What about a game of the alumni of the Giants against the press?
Well, we used to have a game, Marty, where it was the media team, which I managed against the Giants front office. You know, just people who Jack Bear and people who worked in the Giants front office and all through the organization. And one year, I'm out in left field. This is a Candlestick, and a guy comes up to the plate for the Giants who has all the mannerisms of Willie Mays. I'm going, geez, who is this? Well, it was Willie Mays. And we're all going, oh, my God. Mays showed up and took a couple of bats, and he popped up to Bud Geraci, which Bud will never forget. He stung a single to center, and everybody broke into applause. And Vita Blue showed up one time. It was a lot of fun. So, I mean, the people come out of the woodwork, I tell you.
Well, what about it? I mean, that wouldn't be, you know, of course, you have to have people who can still move around. That's number one.
Yeah.
But, you know, Henry Schultz. Schulman at third, Andy Baggerly at short.
Maybe go Crowley at second or in center field.
Young Kerry Crowley at second. Alec, Big Alex Pavlovich at first base.
Yeah.
I could pitch.
The Fainterer brothers, Steve and Mark, have played for me. They're both very good. Mark Fainter is a deadly left-handed hitter, I'll tell you that.
Lowell Cohn in right field. Ray Ratto behind the plate, of course.
He'd be the catcher. I mean, the fans are already going, oh, man, I want to see that, huh?
He'd be the catcher. All right, I think we can sell it.
I think we got it going now. Let's do it. Get some former players out there and get some of the media members out there. I think you'd get a good turnout.
I think we could sell it. We just would have to have doctors with us at all times.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
That'd be the only thing. Here we go. The Cardinals. It's fun seeing the Cardinals. You and I talked about it yesterday, but I liked seeing that Jordan Hicks. I thought that was interesting. And Belt turning on a fastball. Boy, it's the major leagues. You can throw 102, but if I know it's coming, I'm hitting it.
Yeah, I was talking to Mike Kruko about Hicks. And he was thinking about guys who've thrown that hard, Nolan Ryan. He goes, when guys throw that hard, 102, 103 miles an hour, you can hear it and you can smell it. And you've got to get in there. You can't even think about, is it going to hit me? Because you'll never hit it. And, boy, that's the big leagues. I think that's probably where the term throwing smoke comes from, because you literally could smell it. It was moving so fast.
Well, that's kind of what we're talking about with Ray Black, right? You get that opportunity now to have a guy you can bring in who's a flamethrower who, you know, at the very least, you're putting the thought of this guy in somebody else's head.
Yeah, exactly. As long as he doesn't, like, walk the first guy or go 3-1 on everybody, he could be a real blessing for the bullpen.
You see David Price, by the way, yesterday? He goes out there, and he hits 3 batters in 1 inning, and then the Red Sox go on to score 18 runs.
Wow. I didn't know that.
He's got 4 2/3 in. I know the win is devalued today.
Right,
pitchers like to get their wins, and he's all lined up for one.
They were up 4-1, I think, to start that inning. Yeah.
Yeah, and he should have been taken out. He hit 3 guys for heaven to get out of there.
He'd never hit 3 in a game. He hit 3 in 1 inning. How about that?
Yeah. Well, the last guy to do that, I think, was Doc Ellis. And he said that he didn't like the Cincinnati Reds. And I think Art Howe told the story. And he said, I'm going to hit them all.
Yeah.
And he hit like the first 4.
Yeah.
And that was it. They got him out of there. Look it up. Doc Ellis against the Reds.
Believe me, I could have hit many more, he said.
Yeah, he didn't like them, man. He hit every one of them.
He was a nut. And then he no-hit a bunch of them, too.
And he allegedly did that on LSD.
One of the great stories.
you want to drop acid if you're going to face him, too, I think.
Really? Boy. You know, baseball, you know, it's so funny. It touches everything, doesn't it? I mean, you know, you go through your life, and you almost can have a timeline of life through baseball.
Yeah, well, it's a broad topic, Marty. I don't know where to go with that. But
look at your life. Because, look, you go back to the 60s, and, you know, right away you're at Koufax's Perfect Game.
For me personally, I mean, when the Dodgers moved west, I got Vin Scully. I got the Dodgers. I got Gil Hodges and Pee Wee Reese, and I was at the Coliseum, you know, for the early years of the Dodgers in L.A., and saw a ton of games at Dodger Stadium. Saw Koufax just routinely, including the Perfect Game, and that just forms, you know, it formed my... The whole feeling I want about my life and my career. I wanted to be a sports writer so bad, and that's all I wanted to do. Once I got through that experience.
Well, and Marty says that it's funny you can connect it to your life, because I sort of think that way about baseball, and that a baseball season happens in one calendar year, right? So I can remember 2005 based on maybe what the Giants had done that season. But football, basketball, it's hard to, especially basketball. I can't really associate seasons or years with a year, because it happens over the course of 2 calendar years.
Yeah, that's so true. I think I could tell you the World Series participants from, you know, the late 40s all the way into the 2000s.
Right.
The more recent ones, for some reason, I can't remember. But you ask me 1953 or 68 or 48 or whatever, and it's just automatic.
It's easy.
Yeah.
Well, basketball.
Yeah. And I guess my point is, when you say the year, if you say 1958 or 67, as soon as you say that, you know where you were.
Yeah.
But if you didn't have baseball to ground you as to where you were at that point, I think that's what baseball does. It brings you back into your timeline. I guess that's what I was trying to say.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, you say in 1986, I'm thinking, oh, my God, I'm at Shea Stadium watching the Buckner-Mookie-Wilson game. You know, that's the first thing I think of. You know?
Then
maybe
you think,
not my daughter's
think,
birthday.
Yeah, was I married then or not?
Yeah,
married
right. Then? I can't remember, but I do remember that. You know?
Exactly. That's my point.
And you know where you were, too.
Right. But everything else is, forget it. You don't know where you're working or what you were doing.
Baseball's the anchor. Right.
All right. Well, great to talk to you on this Sunday morning.
Absolutely.
And we got the Cubs coming in next. That'll be fun tomorrow.
Yeah, they're starting to rake a little bit. And, you know, Javier Baez puts on a show every night. I can't wait to watch him. But they're up and down. But, you know the Cubs. They'll be very, very tough.
And the fans come out for the Cubs.
Yeah, I hope Ray Black comes out for the Cubs.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Well, the deal is get him in the game as quick as you can.
Yeah.
You know, that's what they do. As soon as you get up here, they want you in the game. And Duggar starts today, Bruce, in center field.
Yeah, that's amazing. I'm glad to see that. That's pretty bold. But, you know, they didn't bring him up to sit on the bench. And everybody's been talking about him all year, and here he is. So we'll see.
And Gorky's in left tells you something, too.
Well, the defense now, you know, with Duggar in center and Gorky in left, you got no problems now.
That's
out
a great
there.
Point. Yeah.
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 Good point. That's huge.
All right. What do you got cooking today?
Well, we'll be watching the Giants. A couple of buddies are coming over to watch some sports. There's no World Cup, but the Giants will be the focus today.
Yeah, this is a good one today. And the A's keep winning, Bruce.
Yeah, they're a great story. Yeah, I really like what they're doing.
Yeah, we get to see them, and well, we'll talk about them next weekend. But they're in it, and they're in it. They're in business. It's baseball. They get money. Put a team out on that field, they can win.
Yeah, the fact that they're in it is just pretty stunning.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Houston's the best team in the game. Seattle's going crazy. And about two or three weeks ago, you know, the A's were a nice story, but not in that way. But all of a sudden, they're in the running. I mean, it's no longer an absolute lock who's going to be in the playoffs. It's mostly set, but there's a wild card spot that could be open there. And if the A's were to do that, that would be just remarkable.
Yeah, and they can do it. And
they can.
You're in business. Play like you're in business and stop whining about money. You got the richest owner around.
Yeah, they need a big change at the top. Yeah. But other than that, they're going good.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be good next weekend. It'll be fun next weekend when they come in here. All right, have a great afternoon, Bruce. Thanks for bearing
with us
today.
Yeah, guys, thanks so much. Talk to you soon.
All right, that's Bruce Jenkins as we wrap it up here with that segment.
Never know where it's going to go.
You just don't. That's why it's two guys sitting at the bar talking at the counter at Original Joe's talking ball.
That's fun.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
If we were sitting there today having a salad or, you know, a hamburger, that's what we'd be doing.
Yeah.
Having that conversation. And then people would say, are you guys nuts?
You'd say, get a show.